So even your business then takes on an archetype, which is a, well, I can say it's a reflection of the owner, isn't it? The business owner, really.
And I've seen so many people that have kind of found themselves working in a business because it's a family business and it's just not them. And it's either how do we work with the business to make it more me, or where do I need to go? So oftentimes, especially in family business, there's succession planning, there's conflict resolution, there's how does the kingdom get passed down and to who? Who's the successor? Or what is it that a person needs to build in their life to take care of this archetypal part of themselves? Because there's a need that has to be met. And oftentimes the business, and for some people it's their relationship, becomes the thing that has to fulfill that for them, when really there may be another way of looking at it.
Well, so you can actually say that for some people, to get out of the family business because it's not really serving them, and it's you're not being authentic, and the archetype doesn't suit.
Well, those are always easier said than done. There's a lot of emotion in business, especially when it's a family business. So, you have to be very, every family has its own story. So it's not necessarily saying that somebody has to get out of the business. Or if it is, then it might take a couple of years to do that, or it might take 6 months, or whatever the time frame is. And oftentimes it's the elephant in the room. Everyone knows it, but it's just a matter of having it. Once you say it out loud, it takes on a whole new life. So it's having that safe place to go and explore a few things and then make your own informed decision. It's not about me telling anybody what to do. It's okay, let's just have a look at another perspective. What's another way of looking at this? And then with a bit more information, make your own decisions. And it really is oftentimes by the time someone gets to be speaking with me, it is about exploring the elephant in the room oftentimes. It's not that I tell people, I think they already know a lot of the time. It's that they don't want to admit it, or, and this can be about wonderful things in their life as well. People aren't always glowing about themselves, and you can look at someone and go, oh my goodness, magnificent, look at that, look what you can do. I had this client recently who is probably one of, certainly within Australia, maybe one of 30 people in Australia that can do what they can do. It's an extraordinary talent. And they had been usurped into a business, and they were doing fine. It wasn't that they were completely unhappy. It just wasn't them. It didn't light up their life. And we did some work together, and they've gone off and they've done a couple of things using this talent. And it opened up a whole new world for them. They've been able to draw back from the business. Their partner's completely supportive of doing what they're doing. And it's opened up a whole new income stream for them. And it's stunning to watch. And that was just naming the elephant in the room of like, hang on a minute, you can do what? You have a gift like that? That's amazing. How many people can in who do it's incredible. So sometimes some of the talents that they have, and when you start exploring those things, their face lights up. You can see this. It is. It's like watching a soul awaken, and they go, "Oh, that's right."
Wow.
And family responsibilities, business responsibilities, those sort of things—they take over your life, and you forget. And sometimes it's just a matter of going, a bit of exploring and going, So what did you do with that? Do you still do any of that? And they respond, and their body will, you can literally see the color come back into their face. Their blood vessels open up, everything opens up, and it's like, okay, I've hit an artery. And it doesn't mean that you encourage that person to focus solely on that because there are repercussions in their everyday life, but it's that nudge. and heading in a direction in a safe way that doesn't turn yours and everyone around you's life upside down. But certainly those types of instances, they're goals, they're absolute goals.
Wow. So now there's a question here, you know, when you're talking about that, are you talking about people who are unwilling to tell the truth to themselves in a sense? Because like you say, it opens up a whole new, you know, can of worms, if you want to call it that, but also whole new opportunities, which means that they have to make decisions.
And these are brave times. This people. And, you know, it's a time to really reassess, what am I doing? If I'm going to be, and what people hit their 40s, and they realize they've been doing something for, you know, 15, 20 years. And they go, is this it? Is this what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? You know, and they start to reassess it. And people may call it a midlife crisis, call it what you like. But there does come a point when people go, there has to be a purpose for this. What is my purpose? So I work with people a lot around life purpose and sort of rejigging what's going on around them. And a lot of these questions, they're scary questions to ask, but once you've asked them quietly to yourself, it just sits there and burns. And so it gains a momentum in your life, and that's when often it'll look like you start blaming the things around you, hating your job, or it's, you know, this company's, you know, bad. It doesn't mean the company's bad. It just means you're not a fit anymore. And that you're expanding within yourself beyond where you currently are. So it's having the courage, using my own words, having the courage to sit down and have a bit of a look at that. Because once you say it out loud, you know you've let the cat out of the bag. You know there's consequences to saying and doing some stuff. And it really is, hang on to your hat, here we go sometimes. And for some people, it's simply, okay, I need to make this adjustment and this adjustment. I've got kids in school. I mean, there's realities around what's going on in people's lives. They've got mortgages. They've got constraints. They are real. But it's, okay, how do we work within those and what can we change? And sometimes people have had the rug pulled out from underneath them before they come and see me, and so all of those constraints are gone, you know. The people that turn up and say, I've lost my job, my partner's left me, and, you know, all of the stuff that they feared going wrong has gone wrong. And it's like, okay, what now? So an illness is a big one. People have all of these things happening in their lives, and then it all gets put into perspective when they get a threatening illness. Okay. So there's any number of ways,
Right, so I want to ask you now about then, you know, you talk about the archetype, and then you talk about the shadow, which is what, it's almost like the complement of it, the, you know, not complement, but complement of that. And how can that, it's almost like naming the elephant in the room, how can that actually help somebody in, let's say, a business? Can you give us, a case study with your clients, without naming names, how that's been helpful?
You know, business, oftentimes you really are dealing with some of the more regal type archetypes. So whether you're talking about someone who's an emperor or a king or a queen, the ruling type archetypes, it's, you know, I've worked with a number of businesses, and there's a few that come to mind around how to put a team together, especially in a small to medium-sized business. Mm. But once you get into the business, they are like little subsets within different divisions. And it's how to set up your court. So it's having the confidant, having the servant, having those different elements of the court, the person who can tell you the truth. And that is a very small team, and they become the gatekeepers. Or you have a gatekeeper, because one of the things about management is if you've got 50 people coming to you or 10 people coming to you with their problems and how to fix everything, the it's too much detail. The rulership probably just has the bigger picture, and there's someone underneath them that has the detail. So, you know, working with someone who actually has one of those archetypes, it absolutely changes their, and so they turn from being the tyrant or the, you know, the, with their head's queen, into somebody who becomes approachable, has a sense of wisdom, and that the respect does then flow up. Whereas having people who work for you running around afraid of what you're going to say, they make more mistakes because they're a bit scared. When that tyrant comes charging out and, you know, you're gone type comments, that has really changed a number of businesses, in that the structure of the team around them and where the energy flows has been enough to change so much. And the natural flow, it might sound a bit airy-fairy, but the money does flow. The clients come in. You can feel the difference in the tension when you walk into a business, when they've got a team that works. And one of the essential parts to a team like that is if you have someone with a service archetype. I was just talking with a client about this yesterday. You must have someone who has a service type archetype, but that person must also be very happy to be a servant. And part of that, it doesn't take much to keep a servant happy. And I don't mean that in a condescending way. If the cleaners don't turn up in the night to clean your office, the rubbish has to pile up. Be thankful that the cleaner comes in. Speak to the cleaners with respect. I know I used to go into work really early in the morning or be working later into the evenings, and the cleaners would come in. And you never know who you're talking to, because they're not just a cleaner. I had this cleaner would come into my office. He helped me with a $2 million budget once. Turns out he was in his own, where he came from, he was highly qualified, and he's putting himself through university here to get his qualifications recognised in Australia. And has just said to me, "What are you doing?" And that only happened because I always spoke well to him. I always acknowledged him. I always moved. I said, "Oh, let me move it so he'd get to whatever he needed to get me in my office, and then I'd come back in whatever time." And he actually got me out of a hole. And that was purely because I spoke to him with respect. I treated him well and I acknowledged him. And with someone in a certain, and it doesn't mean that he has had a service archetype, but he also had an engineer archetype. He could see solutions to very easy problems that I'd been looking at this budget for way too long and I couldn't see. And he just came in and said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he just made 4 or 5 hours sitting at my desk till midnight, highly unproductive. And, yeah, it can be simple things like that. It's how you treat people at the end of the day.
Yeah, it goes beyond just archetypes. But coming back to what you're talking about, like, the head of an organization or a business, and actually if the business stagnates, really, I believe that fish rot from the head down. So it's the who's sitting at the top, who's responsible for, I guess, setting the tone. So how do you tell that person then that the archetype is more, look, you're behaving like a tyrant, you really have to lighten up a bit, and that, like you say, the energy then flows down and people aren't afraid to make mistakes and not going to get their heads bitten off, and that they actually attract more clients and more money into the business. So how do you work with the guy at the top or the girl at the top?
Well, the assumption is that those people don't know it, and the other assumption people make is that people like being that way. They, more often than not, don't like being that way, but it becomes the pattern. So it's breaking the pattern. And, you know, and it's being brave enough to to do things differently. And just then watch how it lands on other people's faces. But it is, and oftentimes it doesn't come from within. It's someone like me who walks in and says, hang about, the feedback I'm getting here, or I feel when you walk in the room, it's a bit like, you know, you can be driving along and making no mistakes, pull up at the lights, and then a police car pulls up behind you, and you automatically start thinking about, what am I doing wrong? That happens in the workplace as well. The minute the boss walks in, people start fumbling, they start doing stuff wrong. And, you know, I mean, that might be a little exaggerated, but little things start to click in. And you can feel that in a workplace. When you walk with the boss through, you can sense, and people sense things. And so, you know, it's no different to if you go to a meeting or you go somewhere and you choose where you sit. It's no accident oftentimes where you sit and who you sit next to. And because we all energetically read other people. We decide whether we like or don't like someone in a split second. So with the boss, he or she might have a bit of work to do to recover from past treatment. But Jen, I don't think people really want to feel that way. They don't want to. If somebody really enjoys watching fear on other people's face, they don't want to work for them anyway.
Psychopathic. Not the sort of people you want to work with. So just tell our viewers, really, I find this fascinating. How can they get in touch with you if they want to work with you, or they think, hey, my organization could do with a breath of fresh air or a reassessment of the personalities within, and if there are aspects that can be, I guess, improved or enhanced, we'd like to call you in. So how can people get in touch with you?
Send me an email, info@bronwynboyle.com.
So info at bronwyn.
W-Y-N.
BOYLE.com. And what can they expect to hear or see from you or get from you?
Depends on what it is that they want. If they're wanting to learn more about archetypes, I run a series of just small, like groups of maybe 6 to 8 people, where I take them through the big chunks of archetypes and finish it off with some one-on-one. If it's someone with a business, you know, I'll have a bit of a chat with them for, you know, half an hour or so, get a bit of an idea of whether we can work together, whether they really want to work with me, what their problem is, and just sort of have a bit of a chat and then take it from there. It really is very individual at that level. There's a lot of different archetypal models that go into business. Those multiple choice kind of questionnaires, and they're fabulous for teamwork and stuff. For the fine tuning, this stuff is also it's really fabulous for fine tuning.
Okay. So how are we for sound now? You're back on air? Okay, I can hear you. Right. So in the last couple of minutes, I want to ask you about yourself, Bronwyn. Are you okay with that? Okay. So tell me, what are the sort of success rituals that you have that keep you sort of at peak physical condition?
Yep. Late. You know, I take some time out for myself. I walk. It really is having that time to clear my head. And I spend time with my nieces. So those kind of rituals, it's not so much the absolute, you know, I sit and meditate for an hour a day. I do some of those things, but it really is having fun. I think it's having some fun, because when you're working or and doing this stuff with people's often problems. I just like to go and have some fun. I love just creating some fun and relaxation in my life, and they become.
So is that what you also suggest to your clients when they get too serious?
Yeah, sometimes it's just a matter of having fun. Sometimes it's just a matter of when someone rings up for coffee, go and have coffee and just talk about your problems. You know, like it's one of those things where what you focus on expands, and sometimes you just have to let your hair down, loosen up and have a laugh. You know, it is a bit of a cliche, but laughter is often the best medicine.
That's very, very true. So in, you know, the last couple of minutes, just tell us, right, you obviously have a business that is not just a business, because it involves understanding and appreciating people and to a certain degree having compassion for them. So what would your legacy be, you know, at the end of your days? What can you say?
You know, I would love to be remembered as somebody who cared and somebody who had compassion and made a difference in people's lives and in their businesses, and that I was somehow a part of the improvement in how they, and, you know, we don't all have to be this massive, I want to leave this thing. I'm part of what my archetypal makeup is. I'm a really good supporter. So I can go into a business, intuit what needs to be done and help get it done. And so I'm kind of like the quiet one that comes in and supports the rest of the structure. I don't need the glory. So it's much more of a quiet stamp I want to leave, and to be remembered fondly for that, I guess, and that I was able to make a difference in their lives.
So did you find that when you're doing that initially that you found it uncomfortable to accept money for that, or did you always know that, quiet supporter or not, I get a check at the end and I'm happy to get a check at the end, I'm comfortable with that?
Difficult for me in the beginning because it comes so naturally and easily for me. But, you know, I soon saw some clients getting whopping great checks coming their way, and I thought, hang on a minute, I was actually a big part of that. So it's become a lot easier to get paid for what I do, put it that way, when you see others profiting quite handsomely from what I've worked with them with. So I don't have any problem with that now, don't worry.
Okay, so that's actually a gem of a takeaway, is that what you have done adds value to your clients' lives and businesses, and consequently the flow back is to you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Sorry, go on.
Yes, it's a win-win, and it's great. I love to see my clients getting the financial rewards that they want to get, but above all, they also, whether I'm working with someone in their business, the flow on is in their personal life. If you're working with someone in their personal life, the flow on is in their work or business. If you learn more about yourself, you will naturally learn more about others, and you will automatically have more comfortable and congruent relationships with yourself and others. So the key about learning about yourself is about having a more congruent life, and to do that, simply just ask a question of yourself and then be brave enough to explore it, and if you do that, then, you know, things will come, and it's not a guarantee that all things will be good initially. Often change is uncomfortable to begin with, but I've never looked back on any of the decisions I've made and gone, I wish I hadn't done that. I don't have many regrets now. Those types of changes they've been part of the growing pains, but they've been absolutely necessary, and I don't regret one of them. I wouldn't be where I am now without, and the people around me that were honest with me at the time.
Okay, so you folks out there and Blog TV and Stickem, if you want to I guess have somebody to tell it like it is for you, even though it might not be comfortable to start with, down the track, it just creates a better life for you financially, spiritually, in relationships, etc. Bronwyn Boyle is the person you want to talk to. So you can get hold of Bronwyn at info@bronwynboyle.com and check her out and drop her a line, because I don't think you'll regret it, even though it might be scary at first. And if you feel that you're ready for change, but again, require that just that bit of courage, I'm sure that Bronwyn will be more than supportive of you, but she won't pull any punches. Is that right, Bron?
Something like that, yes.
Perhaps not so blunt. There you go. So really, it's been a fantastic hour with you, Bronwyn. I've learned a lot about archetypes and the fact that you can apply that for businesses as well as personal relationships. And on behalf of your money and your mindset, I'd like to thank you for being so generous with your time and also sharing so much about yourself. So thank you very much, Bronwyn. God bless, and we'll see you sometime soon.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Obesity.